Hey, what's up? How's everybody out there doing? You're listening to the Cole Comedy Show. So welcome. You know, it's been kind of crazy out there. You know, I hope everyone's being safe, keeping your distance, right? Well, as you know, we all locked down, and I was going through the channels, and I caught some on C-SPAN, and it kind of, you know, caught my eye, so... What I want to say is, hey, it was pretty interesting because we think about the times we're in right now, you know. You know, what's going on with America? Why can't we ever come together as a country? You know, why we always have to have obstacles in our way? Why do the rich play us against each other? I mean, talking about the poor, the working class. You know, what was America founded on? Bigotry, hatred, racism, white supremacy. And so I was listening to this young lawyer who was talking, and he's from Yale, and he was talking about Brown versus the Board of Education. And you can hear the racism in there. And it's funny because it's still connected. You know, for those who don't understand the past, it's bound to repeat it, man. Just listen to some of this, and we can finish it up on the other side. I just want you guys to listen to this and make up your own opinion. You listen to the Cole Comedy Show. Check this out.
A few years into 1984 now, obviously Senator Ervin is still a senator. He writes his autobiography. It's called Preserving the Constitution. And he says in 1984, exactly three decades after Brown versus Board of Education, that he has given what he refers to as the Civil War Amendments primacy of study. He's really rolled up his sleeves, and he has now come to the conclusion that Brown versus Board of Education was correctly decided in the first instance. And he goes on to say, the Constitution is colorblind, as the first Justice John Marshall Harlan maintained in his dissent in Plessy, and requires the states to ignore the race of school children in assigning them to their public schools. Right? Brown versus Board of Education forbids the consideration of race when you are assigning people to public schools. This is an effort, again, a backup effort to tame and to drain the meaning of Brown. So while he's speaking of voluntary segregation back in the 1950s, in the 1980s, he is advocating freedom of choice plans. And he says, Senator Servin says, alas, while I accept Brown, the modern Supreme Court has betrayed Brown because there are these decisions dealing with busing and the racial integration of schools, often in the South, that take consideration of race. And that is a betrayal of Brown versus Board of Education. So Senator Ervin identified a case called Green versus County School Board of New Kent, a case out of Virginia from the 1960s, and another one, Swan versus Charlotte Mecklenburg out of the 1970s, where he says these decisions are wrong, again, because the judiciary is taking account of race when they are making assignments in schools. Although the Supreme Court long avoided this understanding of Brown, Senator Ervin's vision found voice in the court's decision 12 years ago in Parents Involved in Community Schools versus Seattle School District Number 1. It's a case that was decided in June of 2007. I had the great good fortune to be a law clerk to Justice Breyer during this term. I was sitting right over there when this decision was handed down. The issue in controversy was whether school boards in Louisville and Seattle could voluntarily adopt racial integration programs, right? This is not court ordered, but instead the school boards get together and they say, we want our public schools to reflect the diversity that exists in these cities, and so we're going to think about race in making assignments. There's a rank order preferencing, and then you consider race in order to achieve greater amounts of racial integration. The Supreme Court of the United States invalidated these plans. My old boss, Justice Breyer, wrote a very long and, in my unbiased view, completely convincing dissenting opinion. And I want to talk a little bit about what the plurality had to say. It sounds somewhat similar to what Ervin said years earlier. In invalidating these plans, Chief Justice Roberts wrote, before Brown, school children were told where they could and could not go to school based on the color of their skin. And these programs tell students where they can and cannot go to school, this is me paraphrasing, based on the color of their skin. Right? It matters not one whit for constitutional purposes that in the bad old days, people took account of the color of the skin in order to keep people apart, and we should say black people racially subordinated, and that in the modern plans, they were trying to bring people together. That mattered not one whit for as a constitutional proposition. He goes on to say that the old evil of race consciousness in effect finds uncomfortable echoes in these modern plans. He says, when it comes to using race to assign children to schools, history will be heard. That line, history will be heard, drew substantial scholarly criticism. Critics have contended that the opinion offered a severely decontextualized understanding of Brown and that virtually ignored the caste system that Brown versus Board of Education challenged. Viewed through this prism, this criticism, in my view, hits the mark. In an important sense, though, Chief Justice Roberts' opinion was correct in contending that it articulated the views of the Brown era. In my view, however, Roberts' opinion embraced not the majority's opinion in Brown, but that of the dissenting opinion, which is to say the Southern Manifesto. Somewhere, Senator Sam Ervin was smiling. Thank you very much.
That opinion right there, I want everyone to just soak that in for a moment. We're still fighting a class system. I mean, this class system still fighting to stay in control. White supremacy still is out there, still existing, showing us who it is, from Fox News through right-wing talk radio. You know, when you fight to keep a child from getting a decent education, which all people in America need one, should be highly on the top of the list with free college and free health care and bring the jobs back, and should have never outsourced them. This is all the damages of corporate greed. And they love class system because now they can actually keep the poor fighting amongst themselves over some crumbs. And some of them, they just throw some extra feed down on the ground like you're feeding chickens. That $1,200, that's all it was, you know. So, what we're going through right now in this country is unbelievable. So we're still fighting the classism, the rise of fascism around the world. Fascism right here in America. People don't talk about it on the media because that's not too kosher to talk about something like that. But you really think about it. You really think about it, here in the United States, we are in trouble, especially with the rise of fascism. You know, you think the Republican Party is really a party of the people? No, it's a party of power and fascism. You know, the fascism rose up in Central America from Venezuela. Matter of fact, I didn't know Brazil and all down up in there, man, they had Nazis, had, you know, basically from down there up here. You know, this is what happens when you don't pay attention to history. So I'm listening to this argument, and you really think about it, man, we're still fucking fighting a culture war. We really are. You know, the hatred of Barack Obama, the money they put in to fund right-wing organizations. They don't care about lying to their own voters to win. You know, CPAC is nothing more but the, you know, Southern racist Christians with, you know, Nazis and fascist people. You know, big money has bought out this country. That's what I'm saying. You know, right now with this virus, man, they're making, they don't want to test everyone. But yet, he don't need to wear a mask. They opening up beaches, you know. They did the numbers, put it like this. They ran those numbers, and they know what's going on, man. They know that this virus is taking out a lot of minorities because, hey, a lot of us got to get up and go to work. They can't afford to lose a paycheck. You know, and their kids don't listen. Because you try to tell these young kids, hey, stay home, protect mom, dad. Well, some of these single moms don't want them badass kids in the house, so they gotta go out and play. And they already did the numbers, man. They ran the numbers, and Trump said, open up the country. That's what I'm talking about, a class problem, a racial class problem in the United States. Matter of fact, around the world. You notice the media hasn't spoken one word about Central America. Not one. They don't talk about those kids was on the border locked in cages. Why? Because that would throw their narrative off. You know, every afternoon they put on Trump on TV and you listen to some of the crazy shit he said. It's unbelievable. But we have to live in this world together. And I just want to know, hey, have you noticed these people are still having the old arguments from the past? It's about our civil rights. It's about gay rights, whatever rights, you know, a woman's rights to have an abortion. We still argue the fights we had in the past, back even down to the Civil War. Wake up, people. Jim Crow wasn't an accident. Neither was Charlottesville. All right, you've been listening to the Cold Comedy Show. Hey, let's take a break. Welcome back to the Cold Comedy Show. I'm catching the President daily propaganda briefings. They don't want to test everyone. They don't want to test people because they already know. Like I said, you can, you know, get tested on a Monday and be tested positive by Wednesday if you come in contact with someone. So I don't know what's going on in this country, but I'm listening to this press conference, and one of the reporters going to try to put the spin and blame Obama for another one of Trump's mess-ups. They want to open back up the country. They don't care about the citizens dying. Like I said earlier, they have done the numbers, so they already know mostly minorities are dying from this thing, and elderly. So I think with this white nationalist government, the way everything is going, because here in Connecticut, we have CVS is actually doing rapid testing. And that's kind of weird because the government is supposed to take the lead. We have the CDC and we have from the federal government supposed to take charge. But with the state right crap and this breaking, destroying our government, this administration showing who they really are. I hope people realize that this is not normal. Okay, so I'm listening to the briefing, and you're going to be surprised what you might hear out of this briefing. Let's check it out with the president and his daily bullshit.
Well, other than we did have a meatpacking plant or two where, incredibly, we had some, you saw the number was rather incredible, took place in that plant. People could ask about that. I wonder who owned that company. It was a weird situation, but generally speaking, it's been very good. The numbers have been really improving greatly. Please, Isabel.
Thank you, Mr. President. U.S. intelligence is saying this week that the coronavirus likely came from a level 4 lab in Wuhan. There's also another report that the NIH, under the Obama administration in 2015, gave that lab $3.7 million in a grant. Why would the U.S. give a grant like that to China?
The Obama administration gave them a grant of $3.7 million. I've been hearing about that. And we've instructed that if any grants are going to that area, we're looking at it literally about an hour ago and also early in the morning. We will end that grant very quickly, but it was granted quite a while ago. They were granted a substantial amount of money. We're going to look at it and take a look, but I understand it was a number of years ago.
Right? So
when did you hear? When did you hear was the grant was made?
2015.
Who was president then? I wonder. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, we know negotiations are underway for the next round of funding for small businesses.
Yeah.
If tens of billions of dollars went in a matter of days the first time, will this next relief package be enough?
Well, I think it will certainly, it's going to get us to a point that's going to be rather beautiful. We think that that will be the point, and it could be they want more, but maybe at a certain point we're going to stop. It's been a tremendous success. It's been executed flawlessly. SBA's done a very good job, but the banks have done a great job, whether it's Bank of America or Wells Fargo. The community banks have been incredible. I think we had over 4,000 community banks. A lot of people didn't know you had that many banks. But 4,000 community banks, they gave the money out. It's so organized, and it's been such a great program. And so essentially, we're waiting for $250 billion. The Democrats are refusing to do it. This is money that essentially is going to the workers. It's going to keep these companies whole, restaurants and a lot of great companies. And it's a small amount of money relative to what it represents, because it represents small businesses, it represents them staying in business.
I am Ari Melber, and we have been watching the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing.
Well, Artie Melvin, he just let you know what we was watching. They blaming Obama. Some propagandists from Fox News brought that trick question up. You see how the president respond to it. I gotcha. They're playing games with us, man. They're playing games in these press conferences, because what he's doing is campaigning. He doesn't give a shit about the citizens dying in this country. It's not about us. It's about them. They get everything. They're blaming the Democrats because they want the little businessman, the mom and pop stores, to get some of this government money. They're giving that money to franchise companies. So that's why they ran out. Those big companies that off of Wall Street and investors like Buffalo Wild Wings and all of them, hey, they got the first bid at the money. Now they're going to come back and try to get up some more money. It's not trickling down to the little man. So now we got to deal with that. But these press conferences every day is a joke. And our news media know it's a joke. You have plants sitting in there asking easy questions for the president to look like he's presidential. Blame Obama. The old go-to when they don't have nothing else to go to. So they having these briefings. They're not helping Americans. Private companies and governors are doing the job. So what the hell do we need him for? Mike Pence is nothing more than a white nationalist, straight up. Do your job. Stay in line. He's the leader. Trump is nothing. And what you listen to these press conferences, what you're getting out of it, it's nothing. They don't want to test you because they know the freaking answer. We all are contaminated. And we know it's a bioweapon. Let's stop being stupid. Nobody washed down buildings and washed streets with chemical agents unless it's a bioweapon. They told us that lie about some bats, and now every Chinese out there who doesn't have anything to do with the the secret lab that, believe it or not, the United States have something to do with, especially our scientists here. One of them got arrested dealing with the Chinese secret army. Unliberated army, excuse me. One of their students. So it's just like the Russians infiltrating South Miami and buying houses from Donald Trump. The Chinese know the United States is weak right now. Look at the leadership they put in charge. So now this is the problem that we have to deal with, right? So now we have a propaganda network that actually working overtime to convince people to open up their stores so more of us can die. They're protesting in Michigan, which they didn't give a shit about Flint and dirty water, but yet they want to go back and get their hair done, go to the barbershop, go to the salon, go shopping. We want to buy some damn paint like you can't buy paint. This is the game they're playing. This is the game because Trump is hurting. The market's not moving. The economy is stagnant. But one thing they forgot. You had such a perfect economy. Why is everyone standing in food lines? Why do you think $1,200 going to help the citizens of this country when the cost of living is too high? And these are the questions I just want to know. This is where white nationalism have brainwashed half of this country that make America great means what? This? Really? This is it? This is what make America look great again, huh? You isolate at home, your own fucking internet, and you can't even go outside to freaking enjoy the weather. Now they want us to go outside now and start enjoying the weather, even though they know they're going to kill a lot of us off. When you're working poor, you don't have much of a choice. You're always behind the eight ball. And a privileged white man who never worked a day in his life, what in this God's earth made some of these people think that the Republican Party, not just Donald Trump, from Ted Cruz, all of those right-wing Nazis, racist son of a bitches, do you think they care about this country? If you think they care about this country and you think Donald Trump is doing a good job, you're just as bad as they are. And that's all I got to say today on the Cold Comedy Show. Because, hey, if you're not laughing, you're crying. Hey, tune in next week and I'm going to have some new podcasts. Me and my boy Steve going to get together and do some more funny podcasts. I got this new skit I just wrote and I'm going to be testing it. I'm still writing jokes now. It's still writing jokes. If we don't, we're going to go insane. I just want people to understand that we all in this together, and God knows, man, it's getting rougher. It's getting rougher out there. It's not never going to go back to where it used to be normal. It's never going to go back. And I hope some people have waken up and realized that under this administration, under the Republican Party, I don't care for some Democrats either, let's get it straight, but under the Republican Party, it's a dangerous party. They got this Ayn Rand ideology along with white nationalism ideology, fascism taking a rise in America and around the world again. And a lot of us not paying attention to it. I talk about it a lot on stage and I try to make it humor, you know, a little funny, a lot of swearing, but a little funny. But I thought we can get through. I knew he was bad because I know Donald Trump. But I didn't know he was that stupid. But it's not Donald Trump. You can put the blame on Donald Trump for being an illiterate, stupid president. But it's not him. It's the Republican Party. That party will stoop to the depths of hell to hang on to power. Voter ID. You know, always bringing up some abortion rights. Any wedge issue to keep up gun rights. Oh, their kids can die tomorrow and they can care less. Okay? They can care less if kids die. So you think they care if they don't care about kids dying from gun violence? You think they care about us dying from a virus? They do not. They want the economy to start back up so they can make money again with their illegal, you know, gambling on Wall Street and all their crony friends. getting tax cuts and breaks, and they throw crumbs down to the little person. I guess that's what trickle down means, you know? Here's some crumbs. They used to do that to the slaves, give them the slop and the leftovers that the big house never wanted.